Welcome to God's Word for Us.com, Ghana's online Christian station. Be blessed as you listen to messages on the site.
Welcome, precious one, to this program that is designed with you in mind, because you to walk in God's supernatural working power and to be established in the Word of God. I want to take you into our program today and get ready to be blessed. Even as we were blessed, you will never be the same.
Now, today's episode.
Will you please lift up your Bible? And will you say, "This is my Bible"? It is the Word of God. It has the power to change my life and to give me an inheritance amongst all the saints. I'm not a hearer only, but I'm a doer of the Word. Wave your Bible at me and shout hallelujah. Give the Lord a better clap offering. We've been on a journey, a series on service to God. And last week we looked at the fact that service to God is the most important thing or the only thing. And today we want to continue on a second of our series. And I want to speak on serving God is worth everything. Serving God is worth everything. Or why do you serve God? Lift up one hand as a sign of surrender. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, it's time to declare your word. Your word is already anointed. I pray for utterance this morning, and I pray for insight and revelation knowledge. Make me a blessing to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. So serving God is worth everything. In Job chapter 36 verse 11, which is our main text for this month, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. This scripture basically is saying that service to God brings divine favor, brings promotion, and brings generational blessings. In our homily this morning, we will be looking at four simple things. Number one, the fact that serving God provokes divine remembrance. Number two, serving God connects you to divine purpose. Number three, serving God opens doors that talent and education cannot. And number four, we serve God because God first served us. So let's go on our journey. Number one, service provokes divine remembrance and covenant blessings. Serving God is a covenant key to prosperity and fulfillment, like we saw in the scripture, that if we obey and serve him, then he's obligated to make us spend our days in prosperity and our years in pleasures. You see, God is not forgetful of those who serve him faithfully. He doesn't forget them. In the book of Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, the Bible tells us in the verse 16 that God has a book of remembrance, which is written for those who fear him. He has a book of remembrance. And by the verse 18, he says, "Then you shall again descend between the righteous and the wicked. Between one who serves God and one who does not serve God." Amen. So the Bible tells us that God has a remembrance. He remembers those who serve him and those who don't serve him. So there is a book of remembrance. God remembers. God remembers those who serve him. And the Bible makes us know that there are many examples in the Bible of how God remembered those who served him. Even in prison, when Joseph served the people in the prison, God remembered him. And so Pharaoh got him out of prison. In Genesis chapter 41 and verse 14, It says, Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. He shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. He was, even in the prison, Joseph was still serving. David was remembered generations later, and we still remember him because of his heart for God's house. Because of his heart for God's house, God said, I will always leave somebody on the throne for you. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16, God says to Moses, and your house and your kingdom will be established forever before you. Your throne will be established forever. God was saying, David, because of your heart towards me, because of the way you serve me, you love my house, I will make sure you are remembered from generation to generation. His commitment to God's house secured a generational throne. May your service to the house of God secure your generations yet unborn. Your amen needs a top up. David served the Lord. And when he died, his son Solomon took the throne. And God told Solomon from the beginning, he said, look, if you will continue to serve me, then I will make sure that somebody will be on the throne continually. Solomon misbehaved. He married 700 women, 300 concubines, and finally he was even serving idols. And God sent a messenger to Solomon and said, I promise that your descendant will sit on the throne continually. And I promise that you will be in charge of Israel continually. But I've decided to take the kingdom from you. But because of your father David's sake, I won't take all. I'll leave one for you. He said, because of your father David's sake. So for what David did, even though his son Solomon had misbehaved, God preserved a throne for him. And then Rehoboam came, and that's where Rehoboam did. Omoyong, Oguadia Nakra. But God still left a tribe for David, a throne for David, because of David's sake. May your service to God leave something for your generations yet unborn. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. Beloved, your labor may be unnoticed by men, but it is never forgotten by God. Tell somebody sitting by you, your labor may be unnoticed by men, but it is never forgotten by God. Amen? The archbishop may not notice your service. The co-founder may not see what you do. But God, the God whom you serve, he always takes notice. Give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. And we thank God that we are not serving man, we are serving the living God. Number two, service connects you to divine purpose and lifts you above others. Service connects you to divine purpose. In Genesis chapter 39 verse 4, it says, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house. Joseph found grace in the sight of Potiphar, and served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. Joseph's rise to prominence was rooted in his heart of service. Last week we established that you are not saved to sit. You are saved to serve. Say, I'm not saved to sit. I am saved to serve. Amen? When Joseph served in Potiphar's house and in prison, he unknowingly walked into his assignment. May your service to God cause you to walk into your divine promotion. Daniel didn't chase promotion. He chased purpose through service. And the king came looking for him, such that even when they threw him into the lion's den, the king said in Daniel chapter 6 verse 20, he said, oh Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom you serve continually able to deliver you? is thy God whom you serve continually. Amen. The king was talking about Daniel's continuous service. Daniel's continuous service, not one-time service. And the Bible says, because of Daniel's continuous service, in verse 28, it says, and Daniel served in the span of different kings. He became relevant in different kingdoms. Amen? Or different era of kings. Daniel was taken into captivity by the Babylonians. When the Medians and Persians came, they still elevated him. He served under four different kings, and every one of them promoted him. May that be your story. I said, may that be your story. Your service to God is what will reveal God's plan and purpose in your life, and will give you fulfillment. May you find fulfillment through your service to God. Give Him praise. Give Him thanks. Give Him praise. Number three, service opens doors that talent and education cannot. The Egyptians in the days of Joseph were the most learned people on the face of the earth. We all know that ancient civilization started from Egypt. Yet Joseph, without any formal Egyptian training, became their prime minister because of service. May that be your story. May your service to God cause promotion to show forth in your life. Wherever you find yourself, may you be promoted because of your service. Your service to God and your service to mankind. Amen. Service. 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 Joseph was serving. May you serve. May you serve. In the house of God, may you serve. May you serve. May you serve. David was a shepherd boy, not from the priestly lineage, but he became king and was given a lasting dynasty. Because what you serve is what will eventually bring your elevation. Doors don't open to spectators. Doors open to those who are servants. Doors don't open to spectators. They open to those who serve. In every company, in every institution, in every place where you find yourself, it's the people who serve that are promoted. The people who serve are those that are elevated. The people who offer themselves to do things, they are those that are elevated. And more so in the house of God, if you find yourself serving in the house of God, then God elevates you and He positions you and He makes sure you become a testimony. May that be your story. And so Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was saying that I'm not taking permission from my family. And last week I told you that there are things that the man as the head of the house doesn't take permission from the wife to do. As the man of the house, you don't discuss with your wife whether your children must serve the Lord or not. You lead them to serve the Lord. If you are here with me, give me an amen. You lead them to serve the Lord. And so if you are a man and your children are not serving the Lord, take the responsibility and move them to serve the Lord, especially while they are young. I remember yesterday, we were having a chat, and my daughter was asking me some things that, so when I was in school, if I had misbehaved, what will you have done? I said, because I was paying your fees, we would have seen who would have paid your fees again. Amen? If I'm paying your fees, I'm buying your food, I'm buying your clothes, there are some things you can't do. And if you are a father, there are some restrictions and there are some things you must be able to set in your house so that your children will be able to follow the Lord. Amen? There are certain dresses your daughter cannot wear because you are leading your daughter to serve the Lord. Amen? Mm. Give me a better amen. Oh. There are some things your son should not do because you are leading him to serve the Lord. You are leading him. Because there are certain clothes, as long as you are paying the fees, when they want to dress in a certain way, they should wait when they start paying their own fees and they start renting their own house. If they will go and come back into your house and you are buying the food, you are paying the light bill, they are not paying rent, then you have a stake, you have a say. If you are here with me, give me a believing amen. If they want to live anyhow by themselves, then they should pay their rent. They should pay light bill. They should buy their food. But if they are not paying those things, then you have a say. Then you determine how they behave in your house. There are some of us parents, we've made our home so lax. Our children do what they want. Sunday morning you wake up and you come to church. And when you are coming, your daughter or your son is still sleeping. And you have woken up. You have bathed by 4:30, by 5. And you are coming to church so that you get here by 6:30. And your child is still sleeping. Say, he came home late. Saturday, why did he come home late? It must not be so. Tell somebody it must not be so. Things don't just happen. Your children don't just grow loving the Lord. Your children don't just grow behaving well. You play a part in them behaving well. And you must play your part very well. Tell somebody sitting by you, play your part very well. If you play your part very well, and they leave your house and start behaving in a certain way, it isn't your fault. Because you have laid the foundation. Give them praise. Give them thanks. Give them praise. So our service to God must begin at home. Joshua did not only speak for himself. He made a household commitment to God. He did not only speak for himself. Because as head of the home, everybody in the home sets the spiritual atmosphere of your home. Because your children will grow up modeling your attitude. So if you, the parent, you have a lackadaisical attitude to church, your children will model that. If your children can find out that as for you, church cry somehow be. The day you don't feel like you don't go to church, your children will do the same way. If your children find out that you, the father or mother, you don't fight, they don't see the reason why they should fight. If your children don't find you giving offerings, they don't see why you must. They must also give offerings. When my children were growing up, because at the end of every year, I visit some old pastors, whether they impacted my life or not. And I go to give them offerings. And I go with my children. Why? So that they will see that this is how it is done. So that when they grow up, they will also do it. If you are here with me, give me an amen. It's very important. They must see. When you come to church and you don't give offering, your children, they see it. Amen. When you are in the house and you are talking derogatorily about giving of offering in church, your children, they are listening. Amen. So model church to them. Model service to God to them. If we say fasting and prayer, and we are fasting and praying, and as for you during the fasting and praying, 7 o'clock, you are eating kenke. And eating, and precisely 7 o'clock, your children, they are seeing. Amen. You have to model what you want them to do. Tell somebody, model what you want them to do. Your children never see you praying, but they always see you watching soccer or watching the news. That is what they will model. Are your children praying children? It's what you model. So Joshua said, as for me and my house, in Judges chapter 2 verse 10, Judges chapter 2 verse 10, can you put it on the screen for me? Judges chapter 2 verse 10. It says, and also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers, and there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which the Lord had done. Go to the next verse. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they served Baal. The reason why they served Baal was because the Bible says there arose a generation that knew not the Lord. They did not know the Lord. And why did they not know the Lord? Because the previous generation did not model God for them. They didn't show them how to serve the Lord. There arose a generation after them who did not know the Lord, nor yet his work. They didn't know him. Why? Because they didn't show them the God they served. Your children will not automatically serve the Lord. They won't automatically serve the Lord. You must help them to know the God that you serve, the God that you believe. Now, if you believe in God, then your actions will show to your children. If you are here with me, give me a believing amen. So there was no disciplined discipleship through consistent service for the children to see. So the children, when they grew up, they started serving Baal because they hadn't seen their parents serve God. When mothers and fathers serve God, it becomes easier for their children to follow the same pattern. It's very easy. So families who serve God together are preserved from the corruption of society and the confusion of identity. Your children should not be confused about which God to serve. Look, ask for questions about God. Oh, they will have questions about God. But they must come to a place where they know that this God is the God you serve. Give him praise. Give him thanks. Give him praise. There shouldn't be any confusion in their mind that you serve the living God. So you must model it for them. You must model it for them. Now, if your children don't see you, you come to church. You are not in any department. You are not on any committee. You there, you come. You just warm your chair and you go back. There is no commitment. There is nothing apart from coming to church on Sunday. There is nothing you are committed to in the church. So they just, as Sunday, they see you as a Sunday church comer. Amen? Let your children see you belonging to the prayer warriors, teaching in the foundational class, being an usher, being a meter greeter, an instrumentalist, screenwriter, social media, information department, something, protocol department. Let your children see you doing something. An elder, deacon, deaconess, board of trustees, something. You are doing something in the house. So they know that you don't just have to go to church. You have to do something. You have to serve. If you are here with me, give me a believing amen. So you don't make your children grow up thinking church is a Sunday event. They must know it's a lifestyle of service. It's a lifestyle of service. Number four, we serve God because God first served us. We serve him because he first served us. Mark chapter 10 verse 45. For Jesus said, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Jesus modeled servant leadership to us. He showed us how to serve as a leader. He showed us. He washed the disciples' feet. When their feet had gathered mud and cow dung, and their feet were so dirty, Jesus took a bowl of water, tied a towel around his waist, and washed their feet. He saved. And he even went a step further when he laid down his life for the sheep. He saved. Saved by even dying for us. So our service is just a response to the love of God in Christ. Because he first loved us, we serve him. Amen? We don't serve God to earn his love. Because he has already loved us. Tell somebody, we don't serve God to earn his love. Amen? Because he has already loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. He loved us first. Amen. We serve because we have received his love. We serve because we have received his love. We serve because it is the mark of true greatness. We serve. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20 verse 26. He says, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. So he said, if we want to be great, we must be servants. We must serve. Amen? What Jesus was saying was that greatness is the kingdom is not measured by your title, archbishop, or elder, or pastor, or asafumami, no. But greatness is the kingdom is measured by your towel, what you are doing to lift others and advance God's agenda. What are you doing to lift others and advance God's agenda? Because in the kingdom of God, the road to significance passes through the path of service. Say, the road to significance passes through the path of service in the kingdom of God. That is it. If you don't serve, you don't become great in the kingdom of God. We must serve. Beloved, we serve to fulfill God's eternal purpose. He said in Psalm 22 verse 30, he says, a seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. Your service ensures you are accounted for in God's eternal record. It is your service which ensures that you are accounted for in the book of remembrance. It is your service. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, the epistle of Hebrews, he says that God is not unjust that he should forget your labor of love. God is not unjust. He won't forget. He remembers. But he remembers those who serve him. So every act of service is a seed that will outlive you. Every act of service is a seed that will outlive you. So your commitment builds a legacy of faith for you. Your commitment. It builds a legacy of faith. What kind of legacy are you building in the kingdom of God? In Romans chapter 12 verse 11, it says, being fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit means that, well, the old King James says, not slothful in business. Fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit means being on fire for God. Being on fire for God doesn't mean you are giddy. No. Amen. Or fervent in spirit doesn't mean you are giddy. But it means that you love the Lord and you are actively doing things for God. Like we saw in Malachi. He says, then shall he return and descend between the righteous and the wicked. Between him that serves God and him that does not serve him. God will descend between those who serve him. Malachi 3, 17 and 18. And those who do not serve him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. He says, your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Your labor is not in vain. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, be not unmovable, or unshakable. Be steadfast. Your service to God is not in vain. Amen? Your service to God. Don't think that the things you do, God has not seen it. If we say that when you are misbehaving, onyamiehuo, it is the same way when you are doing well, onyamiehuo. Amen. Yeah. So God does not forget. You see, no true kingdom servant ever lacks grace, favor, or a future. When you are a true kingdom servant, you don't lack grace. You don't lack favor. You don't lack a future. God secures your future. David said, I have been young and now I am old. I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Those who serve the Lord have a future in Him. Amen. Beloved, in conclusion, serving God invites heaven's attention. Your service guarantees your future. Serving God elevates you into divine purpose. Your service will grant you longevity and promotion. Serving God unlocks generational blessings for you. It will preserve your family heritage. Your serving God honors the example of Christ. And so you must remember that whatever you do for God never dies. It speaks long after you are gone. Say, whatever I do for God never dies. It speaks long after I am gone. Amen. And that is why you must step out of spiritual complacency and embrace the power of service. Serve God. Amen. That is why, as a father, you lead your family to serve God. You lead your family to the family altar. That is why every mother must be a model of grace to the children. And every young person must also embrace responsibility in the house of God. So that you can say with Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Beloved, let me ask you, will you serve the Lord? Ask somebody sitting by you, will you serve the Lord? So the question is, no longer should I serve, but rather, can I afford not to serve? The question you must ask yourself is, not should I serve, but can I afford not to serve? Because God is looking for men and women who will serve in secret places as if they are on stage. Amen? As if everybody is seeing them. Even when nobody is seeing them, they will serve in their secret place. God is looking for men and women who will serve in lowly positions with a heavenly vision. Amen. God is looking for men and women who will serve with eternal purpose and not temporal gain. If they obey and serve me. Church, if you serve God with all your heart, then His word says you'll be in prosperity, promotion, and pleasure will chase you. Bow down your head. Let us pray. Your service to God starts with your giving your life to Jesus. Your service to God starts with your sins being forgiven. Today, I want to pray with you. If you want your sins forgiven, if you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, all things are passed away. Behold, everything is become new. If you are here today and you want to give your life to Christ, I want to pray with you. He died for you. He rose for you. If you want to give your life to Christ, lift up one hand. I'm going to pray with you. You want to give your life to Christ? Lift up one hand. You want to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? You want your sins forgiven whilst our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed? If your hand is raised, will you please stand? If your hand is raised, please stand. If you want your sins forgiven, yes. If your hand is raised, I want to pray with you, please stand. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. If your hand is raised, please stand. I'm going to pray with you. Will you lift up one hand? Will you pray this prayer with me? Church, lift up one hand, pray this prayer with me. And if you are watching me by television, YouTube, Facebook, whatever means you are watching me, will you say, Dear God, forgive me all my sins. Lord Jesus, you died for me. You rose for me. Come into my life and make my life a testimony to those who know me. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Answered prayer. Jesus' name. Church, open your two hands. May God cause His face to shine upon you. May His favor overshadow you. May His power manifest in your life. This week, may you go out there and succeed. God bless you.
Feel free to get in touch with us on social media and share your story on how God is impacting your life. You can also follow Bishop Charles Genesari on Twitter and like our Facebook page. Remember that Genesari is one word and not hyphenated, and look for the name that has a blue tick to show it's verified. Help us spread the word. Tell your friends, loved ones, and families about our podcast on Google Play Store, Podbean, and on iTunes. Stay blessed.
We believe you've been blessed by this sermon. For enquiries, please call +233 26 767 6055, +233 26 767 6055, or send an email to info@godswordforus.com. info@godswordforus.com.